We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Boomer Esiason joins us courtesy of the Bay Area Chevy Dealers Guest Line. Boomer, good afternoon out there on the East Coast. Of course, you're on WFAN, former Bengal, Cardinal, and Jet quarterback. Talk about week number two, Boomer. A lot of people are freaking out. And we got a question for you just right off the bat. As a former quarterback, the nature of that position, is it just natural for the fan base to come down on the quarterback? Because Jimmy Garoppolo gets raked over the coals left and right, and I have to imagine it's the same scenario for Sam Darnold out there in New York.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can pay me $25 million a year and rake me over the coals all you want. I don't really care. So, I mean, that's just part of it. You know, you want to be in the thick of things. You know, I always say it on the NFL Today show, pressure is a privilege, and it's a part of the story that's always told. There's only a few quarterbacks in history that don't get booed. Joe Montana's probably one of them, and I would think right now you got to believe that guys like Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and guys that are young and playing great aren't feeling the wrath of the fans or the media. So it's part of the business. And both Jimmy Garoppolo and Sam Darnold, for different reasons, are hearing it from the fan bases and the media and the social media in particular. So you have to deal with it. I feel bad for those players simply because it's a lot easier for fans to get to them. But at the end of the day, their paycheck still reflects a level of responsibility that I think that they can deal with it.
Boomer, you bring up pressure. And the simple question I have is, you quarterbacked in Cincinnati and essentially New York. Did you feel more pressure in New York?
I'm from New York. There are a lot more people covering the team than when I was playing in Cincinnati. There's no question about that. There were only really two newspapers in Cincinnati, and I only think one had any sort of circulation. In New York, everybody's got an attitude. Everybody's got an opinion. So back in the early 90s, going through three coaches in 3 years wasn't the easiest thing in the world. But it's not nearly as bad as it is today. I mean, social media just makes everything worse. And you know, for the guys that have big ears and for the guys that pay attention to that kind of nonsense, you know, that could really affect the way that they play on the field. I actually think that in some respects, for guys like Sam Darnold and for Jimmy Garoppolo and any other quarterback that may be feeling it, the fact there are no fans in a lot of these stadiums has to work to their advantage. So, you know, I didn't think Jimmy played all that badly against Arizona. I just thought that Kyler Murray played that much better. And when Kyler Murray's running around for like 100 yards in the ground and he's, you know, scooting all over the place, it's impossible to get him down. You know, the other team, the defense, is going to be worn out. Those defensive linemen do not like chasing after scat back quarterbacks. It's just all there is to it. So, you know, maybe if Jimmy's playing a different team, maybe they win 24-17 or 24-14, or maybe they even come back and they end up winning, you know, 27-20, whatever it may be. But the fact of the matter is, he got outplayed by Kyler Murray, who was the star of the day, along with, of course, DeAndre Hopkins.
Boomer, talk to me about Adam Gase, because Niner faithful got news that Jamal Adams was going to relocate to Seattle. And how can you let a guy of his caliber go? And he said Jamal Adams had some harsh words about Adam Gase, how he wasn't the leader for this team and things he didn't do. And I just wonder, Boomer, you playing the game, can a head coach ever come back from that? Because I'm looking at the Jets, and I got to tell you, Boomer, you know, not a lot of fond things being said of Adam Gase.
Yeah, well, Adam's only coached 17 games for the New York Jets, so it's really hard to get a sense of what kind of coach he is. I kind of actually said that the Jets are where the 49ers were about 3 years ago. They got a new general manager. He got a six-year deal, much like John Lynch did. And a lot of these guys nowadays in this business are asking for longer-term deals if they're inheriting what is considered a mess. And obviously the 49ers were a mess when Kyle and John went out there. The Jets have been a mess, and certainly Adam Gase and Joe Douglas are trying to rectify that. So if you remember, the first 2 years of Kyle Shanahan's tenure there was not that good. His quarterback got hurt, Jimmy Garoppolo, after they made the big trade. They had the bad year, and then the next year they go back to the Super Bowl, which was last year. And I think the Jets are trying to duplicate that. So it's called growing pains. And, you know, you have disgruntled athletes that were not drafted by the guys that come in and take over. You know, those disgruntled athletes these days are going to basically be, yapping and kind of talk their way out of places. So, you know, Jamal Adams was not drafted by Adam Gase or Joe Douglas. Jamal Adams wanted the Jets to give him a new contract extension. The Jets said, we want you to be a Jet for life. We're just not ready to do it yet. We'll do it in another year when we have to do it. We don't have to do it now. And Jamal took that as some sort of like personal affront. And he wanted out of New York. So New York did him a favor. They traded him to Pete Carroll in Seattle. And Pete loves safeties, a la Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. So that's what he's trying to recreate out there with that defense. And quite frankly, you know, Jamal Adams bitched his way out of here. And, you know, he was not beloved. You know, you can always tell when a player is beloved by his teammates, because when they either get traded or sign as a free agent and go somewhere else, most of their former teammates, you know, send all this love to them across social media platforms. I don't think anybody did that in the case of Jamal Adams and the New York Jets. So maybe it's Jamal as opposed to it being the coach here, because the coach is trying to fix the problems that he inherited.
Former NFL quarterback Boomer Esiason here on 95.7 The Game on the NFL Today show on CBS. Of course, host the show, the morning show at WFAN. Boomer, talking about the team that comes off a Super Bowl loss. And I don't want to bring back bad memories for you. It's great memories for Niner fans out here. But Super Bowl 23, of course, we know how that ended. But you guys at the Cincinnati Bengals being so close to winning that football game like the Niners were a season ago against the Kansas City Chiefs. The next season, you guys go 8-8, but you start off 4-1. What was it like going into that season? Was it a Super Bowl or bust mindset coming off of that Super Bowl loss? Because trying to figure out what the Niners are kind of going through. Or did you guys turn the page and turn the page from that Super Bowl loss?
You know what? We like the Niners and like the Kansas City Chiefs and the 49ers back in the day at that time were the marked teams on everybody's schedule. So you know you're going to get everybody's best effort, and everybody's going to measure themselves against you, especially within your division. So think about, you know, trading for DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray's second year, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, the GQ coach standing on the sideline and everything else. You knew that the Cardinals were going to be better this year, and you knew Kyler Murray was going to be better this year. And that's not a hangover from anything of last year. You know, maybe Jerry Rice said it on your guys' station, I think either yesterday or the day before. You know, guys dancing on the sideline. There's no crowd there. There's nobody there to really up the ante when it comes to emotion. That's why it's really going to have to come from the coaches and the players themselves, because it's almost like you're playing in a scrimmage. So I don't think the 49ers have a hangover. As a matter of fact, I think they'll play well here in New York in back-to-back weeks. You know, they got the Jets and the Giants. The Giants have a very, very suspect defense. The Jets have a suspect defense. The Giants at least have somewhat semblance of a passing game, and they do have Saquon Barkley. But the Jets right now, their confidence has got to be in the toilet. So this is a chance for, I think, San Francisco to get back in the winning column 2 weeks in a row. They're clearly the better team. They have more talent. Their defensive line should be able to manhandle the offensive line of both the Jets and the Giants. So I wouldn't get too concerned about a week one loss. There's a long way to go, and a lot of things are going to happen between now and week 17.
Boomer, the one thing I remember about you is you were an evasive quarterback, and you were not afraid to run. But the quarterbacks we see now are running, you know, it's almost part of their game. When did, first of all, when you took off or you ran down the field, what was your mindset that something had broken down? Or, and I guess what I'm saying is, has the mindset of the quarterback changed to, I want to run when I can, but I don't want to look at it as a negative like it feels like you guys used to have to in the back in the day.
Well, back in the day, you know, we didn't have the RPOs, you know, that they have today, the run pass options that they like to call. And especially for really, really talented athletes like Cam Newton. I mean, you know, if you ever saw him up close and personal, you'd be like, man, this guy should be playing power forward in the NBA. I mean, that's how big and strong he is. And, you know, when he is healthy, like he was this past weekend against the Miami Dolphins, I mean, that's a part of the game plan for Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator. It's also part of the game plan for Kyler Murray because he has such quickness. The same thing with Lamar Jackson. You know, these guys are athletes that we never were. The closest, I think, that I would say back in the day when we played that would come to an athlete or close as an athlete as these guys are would be Steve Young. You know, Steve ran with a purpose. I don't necessarily know that George Seifert or Bill Walsh were calling run plays for Steve, but, you know, he could escape and he could run and he can make great plays and extend plays. You know, and there's different ways to extend plays, too. And I think Ben Roethlisberger is kind of that kind of quarterback where they don't call a play for him to run with it, but they ask him to move around in the pocket and extend those plays. So I looked, I had my head on a swivel, and I just wanted to get down as quickly as possible. Guys like Cam Newton are looking to run people over. That wasn't my game.
Boomer, let me take you behind the curtain. This summer, I happened to stumble upon an interview with Le'Veon Bell, and his quote was to the reporter, "I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm in my fantasy draft," and I remember, I'm like, you know what? Le'Veon is going to take it out on the NFL, and not even halfway through the first game of the season, he's out. Is the honeymoon over for Le'Veon Bell in New York already?
Yeah, well, there really was never any honeymoon. It was it's a marriage that should have never taken place in the first place. And it's something that, you know, Adam Gase didn't want. You know, he did not sign Le'Veon Bell. Mike Maccagnan, the initial GM who hired Adam Gase, signed him. And then they fired Maccagnan midway through the preseason last year and brought in Joe Douglas. How about this? 2 weeks ago, they were having a scrimmage. The Jets were having a scrimmage. And Adam Gase took Le'Veon Bell out of the scrimmage. And everybody said, you know, why did you take Le'Veon out of the scrimmage? And Adam said, well, you know, he's got tightness in his legs and we don't want to, you know, extend it for no reason today. So we just want to be really careful. Right after that scrimmage, right after that comment, Le'Veon Bell goes to social media and tells everybody there's nothing wrong with him, that he's perfectly fine. His legs are fine. His hamstrings are fine. No. And then in the first quarter of the first game, he pulls a hamstring muscle. I mean, like, this is the kind of, like, nonsense the Jets have dealt with. This is why they got rid of Jamal Adams. This is why Le'Veon Bell's time here is on borrowed time. He's not going to be here, you know, after this year. I wouldn't even be surprised if they decide to just cut him loose in the middle of the year because enough is enough already. And, you know, only those guys who are around those players know what those players are doing during practice. Are they ready to go? Are they really competitive when they step on the field? Or has the money changed who they are? And remember, the Jets last year, at the beginning of the year, were going to be good. They signed C.J. Mosley. Jamal Adams was happy. Marcus May was finally back at safety. They had a full complement of a defense and a healthy quarterback. And then C.J. Mosley blows out a knee. C.J. Mosley opts out this year. And then, you know, Sam Darnold had mononucleosis last year. And then he comes back this week against the Buffalo Bills and looks like he is like a chihuahua standing on 36th and Madison waiting to enter the Midtown Tunnel here. So you can't play quarterback under those conditions.
Boomer, I don't want to ask you a two-part question, but this is sort of a two-part question, so I'm going to do it anyway. You're a big boy. One is, do you think Jimmy Garoppolo, do you expect him to have better showing the rest of the season? Because a lot of fans aren't happy with Jimmy Garoppolo right now, as we mentioned at the top of this interview. And do you think there's any added pressure for any 49ers quarterback when you consider the history of the quarterback position out here in San Francisco?
Yes, there's always pressure. And as I said at the beginning of this interview, it's a privilege. And he's privileged to be the quarterback with a great defense and with some really good players. Hopefully Mohamed Sanu works out for them. Hopefully George Kittle isn't that injured and he'll, you know, be the player that everybody expects him to be, the all-pro that he is. They'll run the ball effectively. Look, they just ran into Kyler Murray last week. It was just one of those weird things, and it happens in week one, week two. Weird stuff happens when you play against young athletes like that. So Jimmy's going to be fine. You know, he led his team to the Super Bowl last year. They had the lead. You know, lo and behold, they're playing like I was playing against Joe Montana. They were playing against Patrick Mahomes. And when you're playing against the best in the league, you have to be almost picture perfect in order to beat them, especially in the big games. And unfortunately for the 49ers, they weren't last year, and neither were we back in 1989.
Boomer, where's Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling at? Does he have any – what does he need to improve at in order to become maybe that elite quarterback? Or maybe this is just who he is. Do you think this is just who Jimmy Garoppolo is?
Well, I think who he is like good, really good. I mean, like he took his team to the Super Bowl last year, and I know he had the one play where if he throws it down the middle, it's shades of – Joe Montana to Jerry Rice, and he misfires the, I think it was Emmanuel Sanders down the middle of the field last year. Yep. And maybe we're talking about a completely different set of circumstances. He's a really good player. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Very few people are. He's not Kyler Murray running all over the place and extending plays and running for 91 yards. Hopefully those guys will make it through the season and they'll be healthy. He's not Lamar Jackson, you know. He's more in the mold, if you want to think of a steady drop-back quarterback. He's more in the mold of the Bradys, the Roethlisbergers, the Breezes, those kind of guys that are going to stand in there, and they'll run it every now and again, and Kyle will run his bootlegs and his short passing games and his West Coast-style offense, and he should be fine. I'm not overreacting to any of it. I don't think he's a top-five quarterback, but I definitely think he can get into the top 10, and he can get this team back to the Super Bowl.
Boomer Esiason here on 95.7 The Game. Really good stuff, Boomer. We thank you for the time today. We'll be watching you on Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. Good luck out there, man, and enjoy week number two.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on again.
Boomer Esiason here on 95.7 The Game. That was from earlier today. Boomer, of course, hosts the morning show on WFAN in New York City. The NFL Today on CBS on Sundays. Former NFL quarterback, helped the Bengals get to Super Bowl 23 against the Niners. Of course, we know how that one ended. Joe Montana to John Taylor. Bill Walsh's final game as a head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, Boomer played with the Jets and the Cardinals. A longtime New Yorker there saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty damn good quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback, but you just wouldn't know it with the way he gets criticized. But to Steiny's question all day long, maybe that's just the nature of the position with every single fan base. Maybe the quarterback is going to be the guy who's going to be the whipping boy for every single fan base in the NFL.
At least till you win the Super Bowl. I think, and then then once you win the Super Bowl, I think winning one Super Bowl probably buys you maybe a year, year and a half. I mean, even Eli Manning toward the end there was getting roasted, and he won two. I mean, like, you know, Peyton Manning won two, and he gets, you know, he has his detractors that say the second one was the result of, you know, he was a game manager for the second one, and he only won one other than that, even though he was there year after year after year. So, you better win it, because if you don't, you're in the same boat as every other quarterback who doesn't.
So Boomer had Jimmy ceiling, if I'm correct, top 10, and you kind of ask yourself, okay, where does that put him at right now? And whatever number you have right now, fellas, I don't give a damn what it is, because the number was good enough to damn near get you to the Super Bowl victor. Not to the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl, but almost won it. And I just wonder, Bonte, and I mean this to my core, had they won that game, would it just be quiet on the set when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo? If, like, he could throw five interceptions last week and they lose, but the fact that they conquered and won the Super Bowl last year, because to me the quarterback gets the benefit of the doubt once they do it, do you think the noise would be quelled at that point, or we still would be hearing something?
You know what? I wonder if the Niners, if they would have won the Super Bowl, if there would have been a mutual party saying, hey, Jimmy, thanks so much. I think we're going to move in a different direction. We got our Super Bowl. Oh, but we're gonna build around somebody else, because we've kind of seen. Like, I mean, it's
who's this guy?
I'm just putting that question out there because we've seen it with some quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would have been shocked if that were to happen. But here's what I do think: if the 49ers had won the Super Bowl last year and started this year like they started. And people started to get off. Like, the people who would be really complaining about Jimmy, I mean, to me, they would be exposing themselves.
Okay.
as just completely out of touch and unrealistic. Because even now, you know, the one thing that, let's say you're a Jimmy Garoppolo hater. Well, the one thing you can hold on to is he didn't win the Super Bowl. So you still have you still have that still have that as ammunition, and people have it for you know, they hold it against Charles Barkley, they hold it against James Harden, they hold it against everybody who doesn't win it. But you win it, then you start criticizing him after one, two games. I think you look like the fool.
I got you.
Yeah, but you know what? To that point too, you do look like a fool when you're criticizing, but I think about Steph Curry. Steph Curry is a great player. And Steph Curry still gets ridiculed at times from national media after winning three championships.
LeBron, but not at home, though. Not
Kawhi. I'm talking about more. Yeah, I'm talking about more 49er fans. Like, if you're a 49er fan, they're coming off a Super Bowl, and they stub their toe week one, and you're going nuts. Hit the pike.
Steph's a god. Steph's a god. Yeah,
no, I hear you. I hear you. I misunderstood that. No, I hear you. No, that's
but
a,
no, and you're and right about true. The national aspect.
Right, and yeah, no doubt. If he wins that Super Bowl, how much of a pass? Like, the Niners win the Super Bowl. This is a pass year. Like, yeah, we're
right, exactly.
Oh man, they lost week one to Arizona.
Yeah, but, no big deal.
But how irate are you really? How irate are you? Because you're still swimming in a glow that hey, we're
well,
the defending champions.
Exactly. And you know what we're talking more about? He's missing his top two wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Kittle was hurt. And he gets the benefit of the doubt there.
No doubt. No doubt.
And shouldn't that be the conversation anyway? That he is missing? It's like we ignore even last year when he was going through what he was going through and guys missed time at various points of the season. Oh, and it seems like with Garoppolo, since he doesn't have a lot of game experience – he doesn't get that pass. He doesn't get that in his back pocket to where it's like, oh, well, he was missing Joe Staley a couple games. Well, who cares? He's got to play better. Oh, but he was missing George Kittle a couple games. Oh, who cares? He's got to play better. Like, Jimmy seems like he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt to roll into week one with the receiver core that he had and having George Kittle be compromised in the second half with that knee sprain. Jimmy doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. That's the thing that I think drives me crazy a little bit, is that if this was any other quarterback, that built-in excuse would be every talking head would use that. Oh, but he didn't have this guy. Oh, he didn't have Kittle. Oh, he didn't have his receiver.
Yeah. And that's, again, I said you got preconceived notions. That must mean you want Jimmy to fall on his face, even at the expense of the ball club, so you can get a different quarterback, Bonte. Though there's got to be a sector of people that are looking at it that way, that just hate on Jimmy and they want him to fail. Whatever it is, they want Jimmy to fail.
That is sad. If they want that.
And I got to ask you two something before we go to break, too.
Go ask it.
I told Boomer that I drafted Le'Veon. Could I have left that part out? I don't know. But I told him I drafted Le'Veon Bell in my fantasy. I think
which of your nine leagues did you draft?
Well, three leagues. Bonte's in nine. I'm in three, but okay. I could have cut that off the question.
Don't do that, Coop.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Le'Veon, Bonte, what's up with him? Dude, he's supposed I'm in the best shape of my life, and he can't even make it through one game.
Jeez, well, dude, you're the fool for drafting the New York Jet. I mean, yes, you did. So I would have left that out in the first place, man.
I'm
the guy who drafted Le'Veon Bell, and he was, going in the first five rounds of fantasy drafts? Boy, I would have left that one out, Goo.
Trying to build a winner, Steiny.
All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Freeman Supplies. The Giants win last night. They beat the Mariners. They beat them up. Brady Crawford belt. Longoria playing pretty well. Maybe we'll get into a little of that. Miami Heat and Celtics tonight, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll look ahead to the Nuggets and the Lakers. And the Warriors, they're about to get together and practice in a bubble. We're going to talk about that coming up here on BSG. And it's all sponsored by Freeman Supplies.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
DRK coming up next here on 95.7 The Game. as we get ready for week two, Jets and Niners on Sunday. Got a game tonight between the Browns and the Bengals. Maybe we'll throw around some predictions there. Baker Mayfield, can he make something happen? We're talking
must
about
must win,
B. Yeah, it's must wins for everybody. All right. Go to 9570game.com to elevate your tailgate. That's right, elevate your tailgate. Go to 9570game.com right now or any of our social media accounts and check out the video with Joe Shasky and Damon Bruce as we show you how to elevate your tailgate. I believe Damon made brisket. He had the brisket going on, so check that out. Brought to you by Gold Bar Whiskey, the official whiskey of the San Francisco 49ers, and Goat Fuel, clean energy packed for performance. And don't forget the Rocket Mortgage Pick'em Pool. It's back, baby. Your picks could be worth $10,000 with the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today at radio.com/picks and just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups. And I'm telling you guys, it is free to enter. It is free. Pick the most games right throughout the season, and you can win $10,000. $1,000's up for grabs each week. $1,000. Who doesn't want that? $10,000 will be given away at the end of the season, and you can check out my picks at radio.com/picks. Last week I did pretty well. Took Kansas City.
What's pretty well? I was about to ask.
Buffalo. Hey, you know, okay. I'm in second place in the league. I'm in second place. I got 10 games right. I got 10 games right this week. I'm going to go with San Francisco. I'll go with Cleveland. And I'll go with Tennessee. Those are some safe picks there. Some locks for you guys. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up right now at radio.com/picks. It's a lot of fun, and it is free. That's right, free. You can win yourself a lot of money. As we talk about football and the Jets and Niners, let's talk a little Warriors here as they get ready for an in-market bubble next week. A little mini camp. Draymond Green's status is up in the air. His fiance is pregnant. Their second child. Congratulations to Day-Day and the family there.
Congrats.
What do you guys think of this little mini camp that the Warriors are going to have? They're going to stay at a hotel, take a team bus over to the practice facility. It's going to be interesting to see Klay Thompson get back on the court.
Yeah, it really is, to tell you the truth. And let's face it, we need a little bit of a Warrior fix during these times. And with all the attention on the NBA playoffs, I'm hoping that the media can get availability during these to hear what's going on, because we really haven't seen or heard from the Warriors in a while. And obviously, you would like to think they're going to be back in play next year.
Yeah, and on top of that, I don't expect to see Myers and Lakeup, because I believe we got the draft date, Bonte or Stani. I believe it's November. I should have this before I bring it
18th,
up.
18th, right?
18th, man, that's around the corner. So, you know.
What?
And when you talk about.
It's not around the corner.
Since this pandemic, Matt Steinman's time has been flying. I don't know about you, but it has been flying.
Man, November 18th seems like a long time.
But
we're not going to argue over what's a long time and what's not.
We're not arguing.
Please don't. We don't need that.
My whole thing is, Bonte, for anybody, and my son, I was having this conversation with him. He kept talking about the Warriors, and I'm like, son, you can't talk about the Warriors because they're gonna be Joan Rivers. They're going to have a facelift when they take the court when these games matter again, because they're going to have, what, three or four new players? I mean, are they going to draft a rookie? Are they going to trade? And I'm excited about the bubble and them getting back on the court, seeing Klay, but just back and rub your tummy and think about the Warriors. They're not complete. They're like my homework back in the day, incomplete, because we got to see what they do in the draft. And I'm excited, man. That draft, Steiny. Do you trade or do you get Wiseman? Will he be available?
Leandro Barbosa working out with Andrew Wiggins. That's a lot of fun. Sean Livingston, he's back in the front office. He's back around.
Wow.
I know he's excited about his new role. Took a class at Harvard over the offseason, the sports business class. So, you know what? I can't wait to see the Warriors back on the floor. And I can't wait to hear from Mr. Matt Steinmetz, because yesterday as we ended the show, you know, I've been seeing him and what's our OG
my
name?
Man.
Starty. Ricky OG. OG Ricky. oh, man, the Warriors, you know, the Warriors, the West is loaded, the West is loaded. I was drinking a little of that Kool-Aid. But I think Steiny, like a lot of us here, when you watch these playoffs play out in the Western Conference, I think people are feeling a little better about the Golden State Warriors. But I'm a guru, if you don't mind. I'm going to just pass the rock over to Steiny because I was a little surprised by his revelation here.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not saying the Warriors are going to win the title next year, but I will say that maybe reports of their demise have been exaggerated.
What does that stem from, Steiny?
Just more of a take a step back, big picture look at the playoffs and all the teams, and you know, you just start seeing that. Team, okay, when they came back and they played those eight games, you're looking at all those teams saying, wow. But then as they go through the playoffs, what you really see is where each team is lacking, even really good teams. And so, you know, watching the Clippers and, you know, if they gave up a 3-1 lead, or even watching Houston, you start to see how those teams are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I look at the Warriors, I tend to take a very conservative look. And what I mean by that is not a pessimist's view of it, but just let's not assume everything's just going to be peachy keen. And what you realize watching these games is, well, nobody's got that. You know, like I can't look at the Rockets and say, you know, everything's going to click for the Rockets, but the Warriors are in trouble with their, you know, with what their moves are going to be in the offseason. So, you know, you just start seeing that those teams, while they're good, there's no super team out there right now that the Warriors couldn't beat on a given night, let's say.
Yeah. Interesting. And I couldn't, you know, you look at the landscape of the Western Conference. Clippers may have not a lot of turnover, but that's turnover.
Back. I'm not going to be here.
Well, I think that's good for the Warriors if Doc comes back.
Oh, wow.
I think that's fired. Good for the Warriors. I'm not that high on Doc, especially now. Like
I think he's going to come back.
No, they already said it. There were whispers yesterday that he's coming back.
Yeah, I think, Chris, I mean, they're
too
not,
much
I don't
drama
think they're
going
to do a was that Dickinson?
Yeah, JD.
Wow.
I respect
never
that.
I've never heard a drop like that one from JD.
He's got the puppy
play
drop,
that drop
too.
Again?
Yeah,
too much drama for your mama.
JD?
It feels like to me like the Clippers have no choice but to basically run it back.
Exactly.
They might have
or
a couple.
Or do you sign Harold, though? Do you let him go, Montrez, or do you bring him back?
I think Harold played himself off some money. Yeah,
I mean,
he did not look good.
But it sounds to me like – it's funny because the stuff he was saying leads me to believe they got issues. So if you trade him, that doesn't solve the issues that he's talking about. I think he's going to – I don't know if I'd bring him back or not.
So the all-NBA team comes out, and I'm irritated. And how many times, Steiny, did you and I talk about this? Oh, Steph and KD can't be on all-NBA or considered MVP because they cancel each other out. But yet AD and LeBron are on the first team all-NBA. How's that different?
Well, I only use that argument for the Most Valuable Player award. Wasn't Curry and Durant first team all-NBA sometime in the last 2 years?
Believe so. You would have to think.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the MVP a lot of times. They get canceled out. Like, I don't think LeBron should have won the MVP this year. I thought it should have been Giannis. If it's a regular season award, then I would have gone with Giannis.
Speaking of MVP, when the hell are they going to announce it, Bonte? Damn.
It's probably coming up. I mean,
it's coming up?
I mean, recently we've been waiting 3 months after the finals for it, right?
LeBron's getting it. Least. I don't know why I feel like LeBron's getting that thing. I know everybody's saying Giannis. Something's up, man.
Yeah, I guess
you know
he could.
I'm looking at the All-NBA teams when Kevin Durant was a Golden State Warrior.
I don't think –
Steph and KD never made first team together.
That's
2016-17, KD and Steph made second team. But first AD team was Kawhi, LeBron, AD, Harden, and Westbrook. Curry and Durant made second team. 2017-18, Durant made first team. Curry made – hell, Curry made third team. Third team
what about
in 2017-18.
Is Clay in any of those?
Clay Thompson.
Clay always gets robbed, man.
He was not on any of these All-NBA teams.
That's a problem.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Draymond Green actually made an All-NBA team in 2016-17.
Okay. I mean, in fairness, was that, you know, Curry might have missed 30 games that 1 year.
The 1 year, yeah, 2016 or 17-18.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, he missed a lot of games.
I want to say he only played 51 that year. That can bite you, too.
All right.
Yep. 2015-16, Clay made third team. When the Warriors won 73 games, Draymond Green made second team, Steph made first team, Clay Thompson made third team. But looking at
Bradley, how about Bradley Beal getting no love yesterday? He was hot on Twitter yesterday.
I mean, he should have been.
That's ridiculous, man. I'm with you. I just don't get it.
He should not have been on that team. I'm sorry. He should not have been on that team. But it's an award thing and whatever. Maybe the Rockets could trade him saying, hey, he made all the NBA third team. Blah, 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 blah. But looking at the Warriors.
Congratulations.
Real quick, get back to the Warriors and how we're feeling about them heading into the Western Conference next season. What is it that you think, you know, I know we've had this conversation before, but now that we've watched the playoffs and now that we've seen Jokic cook, and Jamal Murray cook, and you see Anthony Davis coming into his own, and you see the Clippers, you know, flail out of the second round, and you see the Rockets, and they're in disarray. They're going to have a new head coach, and you see the Utah Jazz bow out in the first round. What is the thing that the Warriors absolutely need next season to ensure that they're going to be in title contention?
Go ahead, Gil.
It's a bench. I'm not worried about the five they're going to run out, and I'm saying that without finding out who that fifth may be. If it's a rookie or, you know, a proven veteran in this league, it's about the bench. And I'm talking about the guys that are currently have roster spots now, how they'll be affected by this new-look bench. Can they parlay, you know, two or three or four guys off that bench that could come in and keep what the starters have built going? Because you can't win a chip if you're top heavy. And you know, I'm not hating on anybody with the Warriors now coming off the bench, but it needs a, you know, I'm going Joan Rivers. It needs a facelift.
Are the Lakers top heavy this year?
You would believe so, but however.
Well, you got Howard. Players. Yeah,
you
got.
But you know what, though?
Howard didn't even play against you.
He didn't play.
Well,
yeah.
That was matchups. He'll play this next round.
The Lakers probably aren't top heavy because think about the guys who play in crunch time. Three bench players. Caruso, Rondo, and Kuzma.
Oh, yeah.
Those are three bench players. So maybe that's a little bit exaggerated where we say the Lakers, yeah, sure, they have two of the best players, two of the best 5 to 10 players in the league in LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
And you know what?
But they're playing three. They have three bench players who are playing a vital role to their success.
And I may be wrong for this, Stoney Bonte, but I'm comparing the Warriors to the last time they won the chip. You know, but as we talked about it, you got to have depth, and you guys may be confident in what they have now at their disposal. But I'm just thinking of hearing Livingston and Barbosa and Spates and guys like that. I'm eager to see how the roster fills out because I believe we'll see. You know. Guys like that or versions of guys like that come this offseason.
Yeah, one thing I think they need, and it, you know, probably goes a little hand-in-hand with depth, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, they need some three-point shooting. I mean, they right now have two guys who are obviously above-average three-point shooters. Who else?
Poole likes to shoot them, though.
Okay, Jordan Poole. Okay.
He likes to
Come
shoot
on,
him.
Guru.
Yeah, he likes to shoot him. I got you, Stoney. I'm just saying, in his mind, he thinks he can shoot.
They have,
you know, that's half
they
the
have
bond,
no.
Half the battle.
Okay, I'll put it this way. They have no other proven three-point shooters on the team.
I'll sign off on that. My friend.
All right. That's all.
So need some shooters.
And that's and that's the thing, kind of. I'm looking at Denver. You know, and they got Murray who can shoot.
Harris
shoots them. Millsap shoots it a little bit. Jokic can go out there.
Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter. I mean, They need some guys who can make threes who can also defend.
Bill Sapp would shoot a couple, right? I'm like, man.
Yeah, you know what, man? Like, I'm looking at Denver. And I know last year they lost in the second round in 7 to Portland, but that was their first run in the playoffs with this core. I'm actually very, very impressed with them. I'm very – like, yeah, they fell behind 3-1 in back-to-back series. The fact that they've been able to rally is incredible. But you just look at their roster construction, they are in a great spot right now. I mean, you just look at the young players that they have, two budding stars in Jamal Murray, Jokic. Hell, they are already stars. You know what I'm saying? They're already there. They're there. Denver's legit, and they have and Mike Malone, man. I like Mike Malone a lot. I like him, man. The way he coaches, he's hard on those guys.
Seems real, man.
He doesn't hold anything back, and they respond to him. They respond to Mike Malone. I'm impressed with the Denver Nuggets. Yeah, now, I don't think they're going to beat the Lakers in 7, but they could push the Lakers. They could push the Lakers, and I think in a weird way they may be a better matchup. You know, if we're just – their style may give the Lakers a little more trouble than what we saw from the Clippers in the bubble.
Yeah, I gotta think. When's game one of that series? I think it's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow.
Hey, I may come off the fence and make a prediction on that one.
Uh-oh.
You may take the Nuggets?
It's possible. Ooh,
I like it.
And one of the reasons
Bron ain't losing to the Nuggets.
You know, this is one of those series. I'm not going to make anything official now, but this is one of those series where you could watch 5 quarters and say, "Holy hell, the Lakers can't match up with this team," and they don't have enough on the other end. Again, let me sleep.
Don't forget,
Steiny.
Don't forget, Steiny. Lakers have lost both game ones in the bubble so far.
Yeah.
They lost to the Rockets. They lost to the Blazers. And I actually thought the Rockets would give the Lakers a lot more trouble. And then Russell Westbrook reared its ugly head and
thought
he was the best player on the floor. I mean,
I came up with Westbrook. I kind of like that.
You didn't come up with Westbrook.
Oh, goo.
You didn't come up with that. That's been going on.
Where have you heard that before?
That's been going on for 8 years.
Heard that at UCLA, I think.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding?
I hadn't. I thought I came up with it.
Oh, brother.
I mean,
we could throw that out to the text line.
Really? I thought I did. Oh, man.
I mean, come on.
I was in the living room one night, and I'm like, you know, it ain't Westbrook. It's Westbrook, but y'all didn't heard it before. I had.
About how long ago do you think that was? Let's try to figure this out.
Well, a couple weeks ago, a couple series ago.
So I just Googled something.
Gotcha.
And I just Googled a tweet of mine from November 22nd, 2017. And I tweeted out, y'all see Westbrook get agitated at Steven Adams for not shooting off his pass. Stat chaser, I don't care how good he is. Somebody replied to me that same night, hashtag Westbrook. And I'm not going to repeat the rest of the sentence. It's a little inappropriate. But Westbrook. So that's back in 2017.
Ah, shit. I thought Guru had one. There.
I thought I had one.
Yeah, come on, Guru. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that hurts, Monte. Yeah.
Come on.
He said UCLA. That's what really hurts.
He's been doing it since then. Talk about a guy, polarizing guy in the Rockets. Good luck trading him. Sidney, real quick, I know you asked this in the pre-show meeting. I don't know if we could talk about it more tomorrow, but some of the coaching. Vacancies in the NBA. What is there, 6 now?
Six right now.
Pacers, Sixers, Rockets. Who's the other 3? Pacers, Sixers, Rockets.
Bulls, Pelicans, Thunder.
Pelicans. Ooh, 6.
Yeah. What's the best job?
I think the Pacers.
Not a bad call.
Was it David Aldridge? He had a tweet that said if D'Antoni goes to Indiana, he could make Oladipo the new Harden.
I hope not.
Oh, brother.
Our guy Kaplan wants D'Antoni in Philly.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
He does. I like the Philly job a lot. I like because I know they have Embiid and Simmons, obviously, but Maybe somebody could get something out of Al Horford again.
Man,
I don't know.
He
maybe
looks like
Tobias Harris. Yeah, Josh Richardson, Matisse Thybulle, the young man out of University. I like the Philly job the most.
Real quick, is Tobias Harris, Paul George, are they the same guy? Or I can't even say that about Harris because he's never failed in the offs to the degree George has in multiple spots. But he reminds – they got – like when you watch him play on a good day, it's like, damn, Philly wrote him a big check and they didn't get a return.
I mean, I think Paul George is a better player than Tobias Harris, but –
Paul George. I mean,
that's not easy to say.
Playoff P, my ass.
Paul George has done what he's done.
What's the most attractive job out there? I mean, what's the second most attractive job?
Well, I'll tell you what.
We all went around the room.
Yeah, good point here by the 5-1-0, the Thunder. They have. You see how many draft picks they have over the next few years? It's incredible.
They have all the Clippers picks.
Not six.
Exactly. Exactly.
They have some young talent. You think they move off of Chris Paul, though? You think they're trying to move off that contract?
I think he wants to go, too, though, they say. Chris may be going to New York or somewhere.
I think you can get something for Chris Paul.
I do, too.
I really
do. You know what?
Great this year. I apologize to Paul. He went to the lab, Bonte. I'm
stealing this from Tony Jones, but Chris Paul would be perfect for the Clippers. He'd be perfect for them. They need a point guard, somebody who could create outside of Kawhi.
That would be wow, man. Because he damn sure had a point guard in Toronto. You know, that helped him a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am intrigued. I think the most intriguing job, real quick, fellas, if you said intriguing, I would say the Houston Rockets because of Harden and Westbrook.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, gosh, let's not sleep on the Pelicans either. They're sitting with a lot of young talent.
Yeah, that's true.
The reality is these ain't bad jobs at all.
No doubt.
That's the fact. I mean, look at this. 1, 2, 3. That's 4 playoff teams there.
That's true. That is a great point. Great point. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Yeah. We'll make our predictions. We'll have fun with over-unders tomorrow with the Jets and the 49ers. Enjoy. Browns-Bengals tonight. Real quick, Browns-Bengals. Who you guys got? I got the Browns.
I got Bengals.
Ooh.
I like their quarterback, Burrow. I like him.
Guru? He gone. We'll just say Guru's taking the Browns. I think he's taking Odell.
He said Browns earlier in the show.
Yeah, he did. He did. He said Cleveland. He said a must win for Cleveland. All right, good stuff, Steiny. Good stuff, Goo. Producer Kyle, good stuff back there. Joe Spadoni. We'll be back tomorrow. DRK coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.